Lord, we thank you right now that you are at work here in our hearts, in our lives. You're moving among us this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have good gifts for your people, Lord, because you are our good Father. Yes, and good fathers give good gifts to their children. And it's not something we deserve or earn, but because of his mercy, God imparts healing and deliverance, amen, his salvation most importantly. But in that salvation is a completeness also, amen. So there's salvation of your soul, there's healing, and there's deliverance, freedom, amen. God wants his people to walk in complete freedom from all demonic oppression, amen. How many know that God can give you a divine facelift? Amen. He can put that joy unspeakable, full of glory in your soul. Amen. And sometimes we just need to tell your face, you have joy. Do you have joy? Listen, if you have the Lord in your life, you have joy. You have to acknowledge that. Thank you, Lord, for your joy. Amen. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Thank you for your great love for us, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glad to see some of you back that have not been feeling well for a while. We got a couple others that are out. But Lord, we thank you that you are healing and you are restoring your body, that you're doing a work among us here. Lord, we just continue to pray that, Lord, you will build this house and you'll be glorified in it, Lord, as we are a temple of praise. We are the house of prayer. Hallelujah. And you abide in us, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, that you make us a blessing so that out of our lives, Jesus would shine. How many want to shine for Jesus? Amen. And some of you do. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, you didn't have to raise your hand. I assume you meant yes. Amen. So, oh, thank you, Lord, for today. This is a good day. Why? Because God gave it to us. It's a gift. This day is a gift for us to live. Do you believe that? Amen. Life is a blessing. Life is a gift. God is the author of life. Amen. He's for life. He's not for death. Amen. He translates us out of darkness into light, out of death into life. Amen. And we have this joy in the Lord, this fellowship with him. Hallelujah. God wants to restore our souls. He wants to renew our minds. Amen. He wants to reconcile relationships. He's just a healer. Amen. Because God is a lover. He's a healer. Amen. What we're contending with in America is bigger than politics, culture, or economic challenges. These things are simply the fruit of a deeper problem. And the root of our problem is spiritual in nature. That's right. And so often we are just dealing with the fruit, but not the underlying problem. And the root, right? That is the root. So if the root is sick, so will the tree be. So what happens? The heart needs to change. If the heart changes, then the fruit will change. God works from the inside out. Having begun a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. We cooperate with the Lord in this. It's a relationship. It's consensual. It's a willingness, amen, to walk with Jesus. A choice we make each day to walk with him and yield ourselves to him and allow him as the master potter to mold us, amen, the clay. Into a vessel of honor. God's wanting to make you and I into a vessel of honor that he can entrust the greater riches, impart his greater riches into. That means even the gifts of his spirit. God wants to work through us. And so a person can change their outward behavior, but if their heart doesn't change, neither will their life. So the Lord works on the heart, does he not? Title of the message today is Returning to Life in God. Returning to Life in God. What does America need? To return to life in God. To be that one nation under God again. Amen? And it begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with the individuals that make up his body, his church. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the influencers. God has given us the power of his Holy Spirit. And he's given us his word. Amen? To be the world changer. Wherever your world is, wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you abide, amen, you're supposed to be lighting up the night. God wants us to be nightlights. Nightlights light up the night, amen? And so if we ain't plugged in, amen, there ain't going to be much light. So I talked about it before, you got to stay plugged in to the source, amen? You got to keep, if you will, your soul on that, amen, connected to the Lord and your spirit, amen, so that you are quickened, energized, right, strengthened by him, enabled by him to be the light. Not just act like a light, but actually be a light. Anybody can act like a light, amen. But we need the authentic, we need the real. And that's why we worship. You know, as we worship the Lord, amen, we come before him with an offering. You come before a king with an offering. Amen. You don't come empty-handed. So we come with an offering of praise, a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen. And as we are praising and blessing and offering him thanks for his goodness that we acknowledge in our lives, it pleases the Lord. Amen. And the Lord will show up where he's wanted. You want Jesus in your heart? Amen. Invite him. Welcome him. Open up. Amen. Sometimes we, having lived in this world, we learn how to shut ourselves in, you know, to a cocoon. Right? We call it a shell. We put a shell around ourselves to protect ourselves, lest we become vulnerable, right, and hurt. But what God wants you to do is trust his heart and know he'll never hurt you. You can't always trust man, but you can trust the Lord with the most vulnerable part of you, and that is your heart, your spirit. And so as we do that, as we open, and he begins to flood our soul with his presence, his glory, automatically your soul will come alive, right? Automatically, you'll start to say, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Because the Holy Spirit is quickening you, amen, as you worship, as you sing praise and give thanks to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we declare his praises, as we declare his faithfulness, declare his word, his promises, God moves in agreement with his word. Amen. The Holy Spirit always moves in agreement with the word of God. And aren't you glad we have this word? Amen. So what I do as an individual, and this is what I want to get to, affects others around me. Secret sin eventually manifests openly. When God saves us, he connects us to a body, his church. Amen. We become part of something bigger than ourselves, but our personal choices can and do affect others. And there are no secrets with God. He knows you. He knows me. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. We think we know ourselves, but he really knows us. Come on. And sometimes he has to just turn the light on to show us something. Amen? Because we think we know it, but we don't know like we ought to. So the more light we receive, the more we come to a knowledge of who he is. And then we can express him in this world authentically. Amen? You can't talk about somebody you don't really know. It's not about a history lesson, learning about a historical figure. Amen? It's about coming to know him personally. As Lord and Savior, as Master. In the book of Judges, chapter 6 and 7, we see a story of a man named Achan. And previous to the fall of Jericho, God had warned Israel not to take of the accursed things. Some items were to be destroyed completely, and other items were to be given back to the Lord. But they were not to possess them. And so in Joshua 6:18, the Lord said, "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you be accursed when you take of the accursed things, and listen, and make the camp of Israel a curse." In other words, what you do personally can affect the camp and trouble it. "But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." They were not to keep any of these things. So God told Israel that certain items were marked for destruction, but other items such as gold and silver and vessels of bronze and iron were to be brought into his treasury. And in verse 1 of chapter 7, the children of Israel committed a trespass. They didn't obey that instruction regarding the accursed things. "For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." What happened as a result of them taking of the accursed things? It made God angry. Now, when God gives us an instruction, he's giving it to us because he cares about us, because he loves us, because he knows what's best for us. He's not a killjoy, man. He's a joy giver. And he knows what works for us. He knows what's best for us. That's why we're instructed not to be wise in our own understanding and our own opinions. We need the knowledge of God. We need to know what the Lord has to say about it. Now, an accursed thing was a doomed object or something dedicated. Okay? And some of these were things that were dedicated for destruction. Others were to be brought into the house of the Lord. And Joshua 7:2, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is, see, Ai was even back then, which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not worry all the people there, for the people of Ai are what? Few." So they're judging things based upon their own human reasoning. And logically, this is a small group of people that they could easily take and battle. Now remember, the Lord had given them the instruction to go in and possess the land. So this was also an instruction, okay, that they were given to possess this land. This land of promise. So they had great confidence that this city was going to be another victory for them. So compared to previous battles, this should be a piece of cake. It was obviously a weak city. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. Joshua 7 verse 4, "But they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, listen, the hearts of the people melted and became like water." So they had confidence that they were going to have a victory, but this victory turned out to be a defeat. And as a result of the defeat, their hearts melted. They lost morale. They lost hope. They couldn't understand what was going on. And so the battle turned out to be a disaster, and they lost 36 of their men. Now, how could this be? Because there's no obvious reason for this failure. Joshua, of course, was devastated, and he fell on his face before the Lord. In verse 6, he said, he tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. the sign of mourning and repentance. So I want you to take note, though, of what Joshua prayed here. Are you with me so far? Okay, excuse me. Chapter 7, verse 1. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 7, verse 7. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all?" Do you get it? What's he doing? He's blaming God for what happened. Has anybody ever done that before? Blaming God for something you did or for what somebody else did? As to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Now listen, doesn't this sound familiar? Have you heard this somewhere before? Maybe the children of Israel in the wilderness, what does he say? Now here's the one that was the victor. Come on, Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit, amen? They said, we can well take the land, okay. But a lot of the other people were saying, oh, if we could just go back to Egypt. Now what did he say? Oh, that we had been content and what? Dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Again, how many times has God been blamed for the choices others have made? So what did the Lord do? He said, oh, you poor thing, Joshua. No, he interrupted his pity party and he revealed the problem. He said in Joshua 7:10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? How many know there's a time to be on your face and a time for action? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also, what? Put it among their stuff. They're bringing accursed things into the camp and putting it among their stuff. Now, there's a whole lot I could say right here about occultic items, bringing those things into your home. Amen. They can cause trouble. Amen. Any kind of connection to the occult, any kind of little even idols and good luck charms and things like that. Amen. We're not to put our faith in anything except the Lord himself. Amen. So the question is, why would the entire camp suffer for one man's sin? Well, because the success or failure of any camp is dependent upon the unity of the camp. The success or failure of any camp is dependent on the unity of the camp. If you're in an army company of men, amen, and there's this unity, there's weakness. A house divided cannot stand. Amen. So because of this compromise, it was causing weakness to come upon the camp. That's why, even as a local church, amen, we are personally responsible for how we conduct our lives, how we live our lives, what we allow in our lives. Are you hearing me? I'm responsible, amen, to keep myself for the Lord, but also for you. Keep myself pure, amen, because I don't want to be the problem. I want to be part of the solution. Anybody say amen to that? So you see how we have a personal responsibility so that there is unity, amen, in the body, because where there's unity, there is the blessing of the Lord, amen? And we have a great deal of unity, but I believe God wants to refine that even more to where we're all really joining our hearts together to seek the Lord in harmony, amen? And so we have to really guard ourselves against offenses, amen, and things like that that will try to divide us. People getting upset over little things, so often just petty things. The enemy wants to get us upset over. Amen. Why? Because he's trying to disrupt the unity. The enemy is terrified of a united people in the Lord. Come on. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. Amen. And then suddenly there came that sound from heaven. Amen. The Holy Spirit fell. Amen. Because they were united and they were seeking the Lord together. And when they all came together for the same purpose, amen, God showed up. Amen. And there was a baptism of power that was going to enable them, amen, to change the world. Hallelujah. To shake the world around them. So we need to be united and to be personally responsible for what I do in my life, because I'm part of something, what? Bigger than myself. So this camp is really likened to the body of Christ. You know, every part is connected and interdependent. And in 1 Corinthians 5:6, it's not up there, but it says a little leaven will what? Leaven the lump. It's a little yeast, amen, and some dough will cause the whole thing to rise. So we got to get the yeast. We got to get the yeast out. We got to get the leaven out, amen, of our personal lives. Amen. If God says no, it's no. If he says yes, it's yes. All right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Now, I know Omer is going to identify with this one, but an engine needs all of its parts functioning and working together in harmony. Come on, right? I just recently had a tune-up, by the way. And if you got just one plug wire that's bad or one bad plug, it can mess up the whole thing. It can cause greater problems. Are you hearing me? So you want to make sure that all the parts are there, they're functional, amen, and working together in harmony for that engine to be effective, amen, and to be able to get you to where you need to be to make progress. And because there are no secrets with God, the Bible's very clear in Hebrews 4:13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. I want to please the Lord, amen? I'm a child of God, amen? Blood bought, I belong to him. I'm born again, amen? But as a child, I can grieve my Father. The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? As a child of God, I can cut off the flow of the Holy Spirit. I can interfere, amen, with what God wants to do in my life. Either because I'm not paying attention or because of some kind of compromise with the enemy. So what Achan did in secret was affecting the entire camp. And it needed to be, first of all, exposed and then eliminated. We see it today, don't we, in our government. The secret corruption, amen, affecting the entire nation. Well, why are we in such a deficit? Why do we owe so much money? Why are we so far in debt, right? Well, now it's all starting to come out, isn't it? Praise God for that exposure. We're praying for that exposure, by the way. Amen. That's the first part. Amen. It's got to be first exposed. And then there needs to be something needs to be done about it. Amen. It has to be dealt with. Hallelujah. Well, God does that in our lives. He gives us his Holy Spirit to expose us at times. Amen. We need that. We think we're doing all right until the Holy Spirit shows up and then we see, oh, okay, Lord, you're always right. Amen. And if we would just cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we would do well. Amen. How many love peace in your heart? Amen. If you simply listen to the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, amen, you're going to have peace in your heart. You're not going to walk around, amen, condemned or feeling condemned. In verse 12, it says, therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies. Why? Because of this compromise. Do you understand? That's what it is to willfully choose to do something or allow something in your life that you know God does not approve of. It will cause you to become weak before your enemy. Come on. Keep yourself pure. Amen? So why? Because God dwells in a pure place. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You need a pure heart. You need a repentant heart. You need to confess and renounce the sinful things, amen, and the works of darkness, amen, so that you are a clean vessel that God can fill and fully possess, so you can be the light, you can be the salt, you can be the influence that God wants you to be. Why? Because you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. You're cooperating with the Holy Spirit in your life, amen, and you become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your willpower, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our enemies will tremble. Why? Because the enemy is afraid of the Lord. And when the Lord has a vessel, amen, that he can possess, that vessel will become a mighty tool in his hands. They turned their backs on their enemies because of this, because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, he said, unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Well, Lord, it's only a little thing. It's only a little sin. God says, get rid of it. It's a hindrance. It's affecting others. It's affecting you. It's affecting the people you love. The sin of Achan had caused weakness, fear, and destruction to come on Israel. So again, what was done in private had a public effect. A lot of things that happen in secret, amen, even in our government, you see the influence of it in society. Just look around at the blue states. Moving right along. Trash everywhere. Everything is just getting trashed. There's a deeper problem, isn't there? It's a spiritual problem, really, in nature. Come on. God's cleaning house. I believe it. Judgment begins at the house of God. It begins with us. God is cleaning house. God's exposing a lot of stuff that's been going on in churchdom. High places, amen. He's going to have a holy church. He's going to have a holy bride, amen. So why don't we just say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to cooperate. I don't want to have that exposure, amen. I'll expose it right now before you. I'll be honest about it. And I'll repent of those things. Amen. So that the Lord has a vessel now that he can entrust with his presence. Hallelujah. We say more, Lord, right? That means more of. He wants more of us. So what was the cure for the curse? Get rid of it. Amen? In order for them to have the blessing and favor of God again, they had to cooperate with the Lord in this. So God's not going to tolerate sin. Did you know that? Because sin is destructive. And you and I in Christ, listen, have been set free from the power of sin. There's no excuse. We enforce that victory in our lives. And when we sin, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. Get it right away. Don't allow the devil to heap condemnation on you. Amen. To chase you away. Instead of running from God, run to him. Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And he'll welcome you. Amen. As a son, as a daughter, if you belong to him. It's a simple confession, amen, before him. Renounce that and receive your forgiveness, amen, and get back in the battle. Get back in the fight. So what did God do? He lined them up. Tribe by tribe, house by house, family by family, man by man. Finally, they just discovered that it was Achan, that he'd hidden these things in his tent. And Achan answered Joshua and said in verse 20, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. And when I saw, lust of the eyes, among the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them, desire, right? And I took death resulted. And there they are hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. How many know there are no secrets? People try to bury things in their lives. Some people live tormented all their lives because they never come clean about stuff. Are you hearing me? I mean, when's the last time you heard somebody in court say guilty? They're always not guilty. I know some people take responsibility, but that's what we as God's people should always do, is take responsibility. Amen. We own it. I did it. I confess it. I renounce it. I'm turning from it. I repent. I change my mind. I'm not doing it anymore. That's it. Done. Done with the devil. Amen. No place for the devil. Hallelujah. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. Hallelujah. Because hidden sin is like cancer to the soul. It must be dealt with severely. It must be forsaken. And if not, it can destroy the soul of a person and affect many others. So they removed Achan from the camp along with everything that belonged to him. Amen. They completely had to rid and purge the camp of this thing. And the curse left the camp and the favor of God returned. And so the prophet Jeremiah gives us a snapshot of how God deals with nations. Right now, we are standing in the gap. We are contending, amen, for our nation. And we don't want any secrets, amen. We don't want any secret stuff going on in our government, amen. And we're praying that the Lord will blow the lid off that thing and expose it, amen. But we're also praying that there will be justice in His mercy. We're praying for the salvation of those who have been captured by these things as well. Amen. For God's not willing that anyone should perish. Amen. But we need to understand that God is a God of justice. Amen. And God, because God is good and because God is loving. He says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Do you understand? We've been a blessed nation. Amen. That's why everybody wants to come here. Because God has blessed this nation, because of our heritage, because of those who went before us, amen, who appealed to heaven and prayed, amen, for revival in this land. And America being, amen, that expression, if you will, of God to the nations around us. God has sent more missionaries from America than any other nation under the sun. And yet we have, many have turned away. And as we turn away from God, by default, the enemy begins to move in. Amen. And the curse comes. Things aren't working right. The weather's messed up. Everything starts to fall apart. Amen. Crops dry up. People are sick. Come on. But Jesus wants to restore. Jesus wants to heal. Jesus wants to turn it around. But He's calling you and I, the people who are called by His name, to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. And then He said, I will hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. You and I hold the key. It's faith in God. Amen. We need to utilize, amen, that key and approach the throne of grace, amen, by way of the blood of Jesus. And petition our Father, amen, that He will save America, that He will save our people, amen. We are praying for a revival, amen, an awakening in this nation that's going to sweep from coast to coast. Hallelujah. There's pockets of revival. Things are breaking out. I believe God is beginning something here, moving in here, amen. But there's more to come, and God wants to do a greater work. But it requires that you and I cooperate with Him, humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, get into a place, amen, where God can now bless, because God will not bless a mess. God wants to bless us, but we've got to get into position for that blessing. Amen. And so God is cleaning house. He's starting with His house. He's starting with the church. Amen. And He's calling us to return to Him. Hallelujah. And forsake all the idols and the worldliness and the materialism and all the other stuff that we've been chasing after, the wind in the sand and wasting our lives. And God has given us a window of opportunity, a short time to accomplish His mission. Amen. And all of us are called to the battle. All of us are called to unite, to come together, to seek the Lord for revival, amen, to come to our nation. And when God sovereignly moves in this nation, people's eyes will open up. Even the people that are doing the crazy stuff in the streets are going to have their eyes open, and they're going to know that there is a God in heaven, amen, and they are answerable. And the fear of God will come upon them, and they'll begin to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? We're saying, Lord, bring that kind of move, that kind of revival. And Lord, clean house, clean us up, Lord. Unite us, Lord God. Help us to overcome our petty differences, Lord, and the little things that so often we allow to divide us, Lord. That we will come together, Lord, to seek You. It's all about You anyways. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is still the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We are privileged to know what we know. That God reveals these things to us. If we would simply obey Him, listen to His voice, amen, God will prosper us in every way. But it's not for this temporary world we live in. We have an eternal mandate, amen? We've been given an assignment, hallelujah, to advance the kingdom of God, to advance the agenda of the Lord, to make Him famous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish with this. True revival produces obedience to the Word of God, a lifestyle of prayer, and a holy life. You hear me? True revival brings the restoration of God's blessing and God's favor upon a people. And it begins with us. Amen? We love the signs and the wonders and the miracles, and that will come automatically with revival. Amen? If we're open. Amen? But it's more than that. It's about being a bride that is pure, that is being holy. It's presentable to the Lord. Amen. Having begun a good work in you, just cooperate with Him. It always goes better when you say, yes, Lord. Amen. Father, I thank You for the word today. Thank You that You speak to us, Lord, and that You allow us an opportunity to repent when we need to, Lord. Thank You for being gracious, patient with us, Lord. I just pray, Lord God, if there's anything that was said today, God, that is landing on an ear, Lord, that needs to hear this, God, and needs to respond to this, that right now is the moment of decision, that we will decide that we're going to follow You and we're going to forsake all other gods, all other idols, that we're going to sanctify, set ourselves apart for You, to live for You now. Because You deserve it. And because we get to. Thank You for choosing us, allowing us to be a part of this. My prayer, Lord, that this body will be in health and that they will prosper as their soul prospers in You. Hallelujah. Lord, let every good promise come to us, be imparted here, even in our public gathering. Lord, as we are individually walking with You and obeying You, when we come together, it'll be that much more glorious. That we will all be that pure vessel, those lively stones that make up Your household. Hallelujah. Lord, we're asking You to burn in us. Holy Spirit, burn in us. Lord, give us oil in our lamps. Keep us burning for You, Lord. We come to You for help. We come to You for strength. Hallelujah. Would you take a moment just to say, Lord, has the Lord dealt with you about anything this morning? Just to apologize to Him for that. And be willing to turn away from it. Just ask Him to forgive you. Receive it and then make the change. He'll give you the grace to do it. The Holy Spirit will never convict you without giving you the grace to do it. So if He's convicted you about anything this morning, be willing. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. God will bless you. He'll keep you. He'll protect you from your enemy. You'll have strength in the face of adversity. You will be able to stand against your enemy because you are in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, my prayer is that You'd strengthen us, each one, with might in the inner man, by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name.